What drives a person to risk everything for a principle? To stand alone against tyranny? To sacrifice comfort for justice? To choose truth when lies would be easier? These aren't rhetorical questions. They're the puzzles at the heart of human morality. We live in an age increasingly cynical about goodness itself, where researchers reduce compassion to brain chemistry and philosophers dismiss virtue as evolutionary programming. Yet history keeps producing people who shatter these tidy explanations, individuals who transform suffering into purpose, who see injustice and refuse to look away, who build movements from moral conviction alone. The gap between what science says we are and what we sometimes become reveals something profound about human nature, something that can't be measured in laboratory experiments or explained away by genes and culture. Modern moral psychology relies on artificial dilemmas. Would you push one person off a bridge to save five? Then concludes from confused responses that human morality is fundamentally broken. These trolley problems dominate the field, yet reveal almost nothing about real moral life. We're drawing sweeping conclusions about human nature from narrow samples of young adults in contrived scenarios, ignoring individual variation, moral growth, and the profound difference between hypothetical choices and actual responsibilities to people we love. Even Stanley Milgram's obedience experiments revealed what researchers often downplay. Some people refused to comply. Others expressed deep regret. Yet the dominant narrative treats humans as puppets of situation and biology, programmed by evolution and manipulated by context. This cynical view has fueled our cultural skepticism about goodness itself, assuming the worst about human motives and denying that we can consciously choose our moral path. Jane Addams, wealthy and depressed at 25, founded Hull House in Chicago's poorest neighborhood after encountering Tolstoy's ideals. Her democratic community served 2,000 people weekly and helped establish women's voting rights, child labor laws, and public health standards. Nelson Mandela emerged from 27 years in prison without bitterness, establishing the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that encouraged confessions through amnesty rather than retribution. He even supported the national rugby team, long a symbol of white privilege, to unite a fractured nation. Dag Hammarskjöld left banking to become UN Secretary General, building a culture of truthfulness in international cooperation. Abraham Heschel escaped Nazi persecution to become a theologian who marched with Martin Luther King Jr. Dietrich Bonhoeffer recognized Hitler's evil early and joined conspiracies to assassinate him when church resistance failed. Eleanor Roosevelt transformed the First Lady role, advocating for workers' rights and crafting the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. These six made mistakes reflecting human frailty, but consistently searched for moral truth and acted on it. Their examples prove moral excellence isn't reserved for saints. It's available to anyone willing to commit to noble principles. We're born with moral potential. Empathy appears in newborns, cooperation in toddlers, fairness concerns early on. Evolution provided pro-social tendencies alongside self-serving impulses. But biology is merely the foundation. Culture shapes these capacities through religious doctrines, legal systems, and customs that guide behavior and constrain selfishness. Yet, we're not passive recipients. People actively select, interpret, and sometimes reject cultural narratives. Jane Addams and Eleanor Roosevelt broke with traditions of charitable condescension, choosing justice-oriented approaches instead. We seek subcultures that resonate with emerging values while maintaining agency to resist norms entirely. Moral understanding becomes embedded in automatic responses because we've already worked through the reasoning. Like knowing a dime is worth more than three pennies, basic moral insights become background assumptions guiding perception without requiring fresh deliberation. This explains why moral responses feel intuitive, not because they're mindless, but because we've already done the thinking. Moral identity proves crucial. Those with strong moral identity experience little conflict between desire and duty. Their goals align. This alignment creates consistency that situational pressures can't easily disrupt, demonstrating remarkable resilience when facing temptation or pressure to compromise. Modern culture celebrates strategic dishonesty, with popular media suggesting self-deception boosts power and influence, and research showing most people lie daily. This contradicts ancient wisdom. Romans called truth the mother of virtue. Confucius saw honesty as the source of love and fairness, while Western traditions celebrated it through biblical commandments and figures like Washington and Lincoln. False praise undermines genuine competence. Carol Dweck's research shows children with a growth mindset who understand success depends on motivation to learn rather than fixed intelligence demonstrate greater persistence than those focused on appearing smart. Philosopher Cecilia Bach notes that self-deception attacks morality at its roots by interfering with character development. The six moral leaders practiced regular self-reflection through prayer, diaries, and honest discussions with confidants. Dietrich Bonhoeffer exemplified this dramatically. At 28, recognizing Hitler's dangers, he fled to New York in 1939 when facing conscription, but his diary reveals his torment. The whole burden of self-reproach because of a wrong decision comes back again and again. Against his host's pleas, he returned to Nazi Germany on one of the last ships before war, following his discerned moral truth. Humility anchors major religions, yet remains paradoxical. Benjamin Franklin noted how pride resurfaces even when claiming humility. While some business leaders are revered for outsized egos, Jim Collins found that level 5 leaders who combine personal humility with professional will enable companies to move from good to great. C.S. Lewis redefined humility brilliantly. Not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. The 6 leaders manifested this by maintaining perspective on themselves within larger contexts, viewing their lives as part of historical continuums rather than singular heroics. They used self-deprecating humor, maintained genuine solidarity across social strata, and rejected material privileges. Eleanor Roosevelt understood social position as superficial. It is only luck and a little veneer temporarily on the surface. Faith means believing in something. Without it, meaning and purpose become impossible. For all 6 moral leaders, faith meant living according to deeply held ideals like justice, truth, peace, and human dignity, even when current realities violated these values. This faith strengthened their determination to bring the world closer to its proper moral orientation and provided essential psychological resources to face extreme hardships without despair. Both Roosevelt and Mandela found meaning in suffering. Roosevelt believed her personal pain increased her empathy, while Mandela, during decades of imprisonment, quoted Shakespeare that "the chains of the body are often wings to the spirit." The Universal Declaration of Human Rights proves moral truth transcends culture. In 1948, Eleanor Roosevelt led the UN General Assembly to near unanimous agreement on 29 articles defining human dignity. Though lacking enforcement, this document contributed to apartheid's fall, totalitarian regimes' collapse, and democracy's spread from 28% to 62% of nations. We can reject both absolutism and extreme relativism. We needn't claim one true morality exists to make legitimate moral judgments. We can condemn Nazi ideology without claiming any alternative represents the only truth. Tolerance alone cannot address slavery, or justice active is required. Progress unfolds over centuries, progressively expanding human rights, an ideal that educates and inspires. As Mandela noted, education is the most powerful weapon for changing the world. Goodness isn't an illusion programmed by genes or culture, it's a choice, renewed daily through commitment to truth, humility, and ideals larger than ourselves. History's moral leaders weren't superhuman. They decided what they stood for and refused to compromise when tested. That same choice awaits you when integrity costs something, when speaking truth risks comfort, when justice demands sacrifice. Your ideals aren't decorative. They're the architecture of who you're becoming.